Go to college to make their lives ultimately better. That can have little to no bearing on the quality of life while they are in college. For example, college students who struggle to find and keep a place to live. Some students do not have a regular place to call home. College of the Redwoods in Eureka, a two-year college, has both residence halls and students who have no fixed abode. Let's hear how COR has been addressing homelessness with some other homeless issues on the horizon. Keith Flamer is the president of College of the Redwoods. Welcome, Dr. Flamer.
Thank you very much, and I'm very, very glad to be here with you.
Good to have you. Joe Hash is with us as well, the Vice President of Student Services at COR. Welcome to you.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
So let's start with the basics from either one of you. How many students attend College of the Redwoods, and how many of those do you believe to be homeless?
We have about 5,000 students in the whole district, to include Eureka, Del Norte, and also our branch campus in Hoopa. And the last estimate of students who have self-identified as homeless or housing insecurity, we had over 250 students who have told us that they need help.
250. Okay, that is a significant number then.
It is indeed for us.
So, Dr. Flamer, COR does have dormitories, is that right? How big a portion of the student body can they fit?
Yeah, we do have dorms. We're just one of the few in California that have them. We have room for about 140 students.
Okay, so not even close to what the student body would be.
Not even.
Is there a big waiting list?
And I would have to turn that over to Joe. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Typically in the fall, yes, there is a waiting list. It's usually about 30 or 40 students long that don't have the ability to get into the dormitories. So there is high demand, especially in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion at this point about constructing more dormitories? Is that a possibility?
Well, yes. Matter of fact, our board has asked me to look at that now. So we're going to spend the year looking at funding sources, but also any buildable spaces and how we would get that done.
So what do students, and I know you've mentioned a couple of different things that students do to sort of make life workable, kind of a life hack here, but what do they do for shelter when they do not have regular places to live?
That's a really good question, and we looked at that when we first met with a student by the name of Tammy. About fall of 2017, she was a homeless student. She met with me just to get some ideas about how we can help students. And what we found when we looked into this more deeply is that we have students who are couch surfing, students who are sleeping in their cars, students who are sleeping in the woods, students who are sleeping in folks' garages and taking the bus, as Tammy did, for hours on end late into the night just to get to classes. And that's when we said that COR has to do a lot better to help our students, because our view is we don't want to let any student left behind. So we see that every student is important, and we want to make sure that we do everything to help every student be successful. And at that point, we talked to our board of trustees and the foundation board, and they 100% agreed with me that we have to do more for each and every one of our students.
And so what sort of initiatives did you embark upon at that point?
At that point, what we did was we looked at our housing situation. Although we have a waiting list in the fall, in closer inspection, we found that we had more spaces that are vacant in the spring semester. So what we resolved to do is set some rooms aside for students who are homeless. So we agreed to forego the revenue of several rooms just so we can get students housed. And at that point, what we did is we worked on a fundraising campaign to ask our community, both our college community and our local community, to provide funds that we can have room and board for a few students as a pilot last year. And it worked extremely well. So we're going to expand that this year.
And is that the program called the Redwoods Room and Board Scholarship Fund?
You are correct. Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
All right. Joe Hash, give us a sense a little more broadly out in the community. I know we talk to every community in the region seems to have a very low vacancy rate for rentals anyway. There are additional pressures in the Eureka Arcata area. You have the Humboldt State University there as well. I mean, do all these things conspire to make availability low and rent high?
Yes. we have that added pressure from Humboldt State to our north. And they have a huge housing issue themselves with their students. So it's compacted by that. But yeah, we have a real problem here with folks being able to find available housing. Some of the things that we've done here at the college, we've instituted and hired a housing liaison, and that person works with students who are seeking housing in the area. Either they don't have housing, or they're moving to the area, or they're looking for an improved housing situation. So he's able to, on a half-time basis, be able to provide that assistance, and it's worked out really well for a lot of our students.
What kinds of things can the housing liaison do, though? I mean, it's not like the housing liaison can create new spaces.
No, can't create new spaces, but can connect students with management companies, with landlords that have contacted him. He has his hand on the pulse of what's going on in the housing community. So he has a lot of resources that the students wouldn't be able to access otherwise. So, like I said, he's been a great assistance to our students. He's only been in place for a year, so we're hoping to improve upon the services that he's already been able to offer.
And only half-time, you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, Keith Flamer, is there some pressure on the Board of Trustees to make that a full-time position?
No, because what we've agreed to do is do an assessment of the program and figure out what's actually needed and get some firm data. But also, we have developed through Joe Hash and Dr. Kente Johnson a five-year plan to help us move this initiative forward. So I think in year two or three, there is a plan in place to increase that position to full-time. Yes.
All right, we're talking about the homelessness for students at College of the Redwoods, a two-year college in Eureka with campuses in Del Norte and Hoopa as well. Keith Flamer is the president of COR. Joe Hash is vice president of student services. Questions, comments from you? Welcome on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I do want to come back and talk about the five-year plan, but I want to take a moment to talk about California Assembly Bill 302, the idea of letting students live in their cars, or at least spend nights in their cars on campus. What would that require of COR, Keith Flamer?
Actually, it would require a couple things. One is that we want to make sure that the parking lot and the students that use it are safe and secure. But also what we have to make sure is that they have access to showers and access to restrooms. And so that is going to be a challenge for most schools to be able to do that. But I think that we've solved that in our, because we were able to pilot a 302 initiative this summer under Joe Hash and Kente Johnson. And Joe probably has a lot more specifics to give to you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, please go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so we've piloted the program, as Dr. Flamer said, this summer. We have the general parking lot is available for overnight parking. We actually have rows, so they're painted. One row is painted green, one row is painted yellow, and so Tuesdays and Thursday nights would be the green row. Monday, Wednesday, Friday nights would be the yellow row, and so those are the available spots. They're all co-located next to the field house. The field house restrooms and showers are available for these students for 24 hours. We also have extra security patrolling the parking lot to ensure, as Dr. Flamer said, that they have a safe and secure spot. Each student they can receive the overnight parking pass at no cost to them. They do have to complete a little registration form, and then they have to sign off that they understand the rules and regulations. We don't allow pets. We don't allow like personal items outside of their cars. We're trying not to have a homeless encampment there, but still have these spots available for our students to be safe and secure overnight.
And how many spots on either the green or the yellow rows?
Well, there's probably 20 or 30 spots in each. If we needed to, if the demand exceeded that, I'm sure we could expand.
All right. And at this point, has anybody, you mentioned it's a pilot, so is it already in effect? I mean, do you have classes going on now that where people are using those rows?
We haven't had any takers yet. We're piloting it in the summer. Most of our classes, though, this summer are online. So we don't have a lot of face-to-face students on campus. But we made it available, and we'll see how that proceeds into the future.
And so, Jeffrey, if I can add something
to that
real quickly. And we took this route for two reasons. One is we wanted a pilot in the summer where we have a low student population so we can test how we can implement a program when the law comes into effect and we're mandated to do it a year from now. So we could test our processes to make sure that the institution's ready to handle more than 10 or 15 students sleeping in their cars. But also we looked at it not because the law is going to mandate us to do it, but also it's the right thing for us to do for our students.
Well, so I do see some resistance to the idea of AB 302, which I should point out has passed the Assembly and has been through a couple of committees in the Senate and is in a third committee now, awaiting getting to the floor. But the resistance that I see from other junior colleges around the state of California, you don't feel that same opposition to it?
Well, actually, I do. Uh-huh. I do. I think that this is probably just a Band-Aid on a larger problem, quite frankly. And I think that the state could do better, in my view, if we just get some more, if they allocated more money to more programming for homeless or housing insecure students, for not just housing for more dorms, but in actual programming to actually help them be more successful.
So, Joe Hash, you probably have a good feel for the numbers here. What does it cost you to run the pilot with the car camping for the summer?
Well, the pilot, at this point, it has not cost us a whole lot. I mean, it's extra security, like I said, and some paint and whatnot. Eventually, if the law passes and if we're going to fully implement this and we have a number of students taking advantage of it, you know, there are going to be some costs. You know, there's going to be additional custodial things like that. At this point, we've recognized that. We've prepared for it. And we're ready to meet those demands.
So Keith Flamer, when you talk about a chance to spend resources on something other than for car camping, what would be the first thing on the priority list? I mean, where would your next $1,000 go?
It would be toward beefing up security, mm-hmm. Safety of not just the homeless students, but our students and faculty in general. And as we saw in the shooting at Gilroy just a couple of days ago, is that we are really hyper-focused on improving the safety and security. So that's where our next few $1,000s will go to.
Let's take a phone call here. We have Seth in Central Point on the line. We're talking about homelessness and car camping at the College of the Redwoods with President Keith Flamer and Vice President of Student Services Joe Hash. Welcome, Seth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It sounds really interesting what you guys are doing for the students. I was just wondering if there's any crossover between programs. I know one popular thing that I've been looking up a lot recently is tiny homes, sustainable living, off-grid living. Are there any programs being offered at the school to kind of make it almost a learning experience for the students so that they can have a chance to get into that kind of market?
All right. Thanks for the question, Seth.
This is Keith Flamer speaking. Actually, that's a great question. That's a question that we have been asking our career education dean and faculty for about 6 months, and they are actually looking at right now a tiny house production. And we've talked about how we could devote some of our land to tiny house production, but we were just in early stages of talking about how to subsume the program within our academic programs. So it'll take us a little longer to make this happen.
Let's talk a bit more about other things that have been done thus far. I know there's a food pantry on the main campus in Eureka, food pantries in Crescent City, and Hoopa planned for 2019. I'm reading off your list here, basically. The housing liaison we talked about already. We talked about the gym showers open to students facing housing insecurity. Joe Hash, give us an idea, though, about some of the counseling and services to help people deal with what is not a good situation.
Yeah, so we have, right now we have a counselor case manager who's assigned to work with our students who have received the room and board scholarship. So we had six students in the pilot program during the spring, and we've carried four of those through the summer, and we're going to expand that to 8 for this fall. And so this counselor works with them on any number of issues. Some are academic, some are personal. They can help them access resources. And so they've been very valuable in working with the student population. So as part of the five-year plan, we're expanding our case manager and counseling availability, and we're going to take that beyond just the recipients of the room and board scholarship and make that available to students who are experiencing housing insecurity at any time during their enrollment here. So it's proved super valuable to, as we've seen in the pilot program for the room and board scholarship students, and we're hoping it would be just as successful with the general student population.
It sounds like, intentionally or not, you're sort of following the Maslow hierarchy here to take care of the physical needs first and then move up to the higher needs later on.
Yes, that's a great point. Exactly.
So, Keith Flamer, when you mentioned talking to Tammy in fall of 2017, was it a bit of an eye-opener to realize the extent of homelessness for COR students?
Actually, it was both an eye-opener and saddening at the same time, if you can have both feelings. Because although I had an inkling or just a thought that we had some students sleeping in the woods or sleeping in their cars, I didn't know the extent of the problem until I talked to Tammy and we said we need to find out more. And it was awfully, awfully sad when I found out we have over 250 students who have already just self-identified as housing insecure, even food insecure. But at that point, we said we needed to do more. But yes, it was an eye-opener for me.
I was going to ask about whether anybody's checked back in. And Tammy would be a good example, because I assume by now she may be out of College of the Redwoods. So what's become of her?
Joe, you could want to answer that one?
Yeah, so Tammy's a Humboldt State student now. She was very successful here at CR. She's moved on to Humboldt State. And I believe she's getting close to graduation. She's continues to spend time at CR, though, mentoring students, assisting in our multicultural center. So, yeah, she's just been a super valuable resource and a very great success story.
This is what you want from students, isn't it, Keith Flamer, to learn from them as well as to teach them?
Absolutely, and that's what it means to work in higher education, that we can learn from each other, whether it's a faculty member, staff member, or a student. That's a great, great question, great comment.
Okay, a lot of work still left to do, obviously. A five-year plan in place at College of the Redwoods in Eureka campuses as well in Del Norte and Hoopa, and the Redwoods Room and Board Scholarship Fund, one of the approaches, while Assembly Bill 302 works its way through the state legislature. That, again, would require students who are homeless to be able to have a place on their community college campuses to park. Some resistance, as you heard, from within the system. I want to thank Dr. Keith Flamer, the president of College of the Redwoods and vice president of student services, Joe Hash, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Pleasure to have you both. Bottom of the